Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
That means you've remained in one spot. Even when persecution came, you didn't let the devil take any ground. And I want to tell the church today, as he told the church at Thyatira, don't let the enemy take any ground on your life. Just like Pastor said this morning, there may be times you have symptoms, but I tell you what, tell the devil go back where he belongs. Tell him to go to H-E double hockey stick. You know where I'm going here. He said, I know the patience of you. Hold your ground. Can I tell the church this morning, let's hold our ground. Come on, let's hold our ground. They can go into code orange or blue or whatever kind of code. I'm going to hold my ground. Either we believe the word of God or we don't. Amen? This was a great church. Look at it. This was a great church. It's a great church. I know the works of you. I know the love of you. I know the service of you. I know the faith of you. I know the patience of you. And it says, and as for your works, the last are more than the first. It's compared to what you used to do. I'm here to tell you this morning, if you're going to be a good church, if you're going to be a good believer, you should, if you got saved in 2009 and 2020, you ought to be better than you were in 2009. Don't just stay in the same place that you are, but keep fighting the good fight of faith. You should go from glory to glory, from faith to faith. I see believers all the time, they get saved, they get hooked in, and they stay exactly where they are. Come on, I'm here to tell you this morning, if he pointed it out to the church at Thyatira, he's pointing it out to the church at AOL this morning, that you don't need to stay in the same place that you are, but you need to keep fighting the good fight of faith. Don't shrink back, but get better. In every area of life. Come on, I don't want to stay at the same place. I see another horseshoer in here. And I'm admired by this young man of how he doesn't stay at the same place that he is. If you're a plumber, be a better plumber. If you're an electrician, be a better electrician. Whatever it is that you do, don't stay stagnant in your place in life. Because I'm telling you, that will affect your spiritual life as well. Don't stay in the rocking chair, but let's put a motor on the rocking chair. Come on, let's do some things. Let's get better at life. Who am I talking to this morning? But I want you to see, open your eyes to the church at Thyatira here, that this was a great church. But yet they were about to be derailed. This is a prophecy that he's telling them. He said, you're about to be derailed. How many of y'all believe a good believer or a good church can be derailed if you don't deal with things in your life? If you don't deal with sin, I'm telling you, the wages of sin is death. If you don't deal with some relationships that you have right now, I'm telling you, I used to tell teenagers all the time, if you can picture your friends in an orange jumpsuit, you might as well get sized up for one today. Because you'll be eating a cold banana and beans right in there with them. You rise and fall to the level of your friends, he says in verse 20. So I want you to grab a hold of this through all the churches. Before he corrects them, before he, brings correction, he always commends them of things that they're doing right. It's a great leadership quality. It's the sandwich approach. Now I know a hold of it. Now when I have a meeting, when somebody gets on to me, I know where we're going. You do this right, you do this right, you do this right. And I'm thinking, oh, but the butt is coming. I mean, y'all know that. Your kids will grab a hold of that too. But you know what? We always need to build up before we tear them down. Amen? But I'm also here to tell you, they walked in love. See, this was a church of love. Love corrects. Love corrects. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, he says, the height, the depth, the length and width of love. And I'm here to tell you, before this building was even here, they had to go down before they went up. And you've got to correct your kids before they can be upstanding adults in this world today. Can I get an amen out there? It says in verse 20, nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. How many of y'all know a Jezebel out there? Come on, let me just see a show of hands. Come on, just be honest. I know a few of them. I was telling Gabe beforehand, a good friend of mine brought me a blue roan horse. And I had seen him rope on her before, and beautiful animal, fast. And I remember he brought him. I said, hey, what's this horse? I was crawled underneath her already. I said, what's this horse's name? He said, Jezebel. I got up from underneath her and said, oh, that's bad voodoo. Don't name your kids Jezebel. Come on, somebody. Let me tell you about Jezebel. He said, that woman Jezebel. There is so much in this text, I'm kind of blown away in my mind of how to even approach it to you, but he says, that woman Jezebel. Jezebel is the wife of the pastor of the church. But can I just go ahead and commend pastors' wives today? Come on, let's give our pastors' wives a hands. They are heroes. You're heroes. Amen. So her name is really not Jezebel. But what he's saying is she has a spirit on her, the spirit of Jezebel. She's manipulating people to go back into the world. She's telling them this, saying, you know what, we need kind of, you know, tithes and offerings coming into the church. And I know the pastor preaches against sin, but you come on over here, and I'll tell you what you really need to do is you need to go ahead and serve that pagan god of the fabric people so you can bring an income into the church. She was a voice of manipulation, but I'm here to tell you today, a Jezebel only works with an Ahab because an Ahab lets them do what they're doing. In the Old Testament, Jezebel, you need to know this. It goes back into the story of 1 and 2 Kings. Old Testament Jezebel, she was a foreigner to the land of Israel, and she worshipped a god by the name of Melkart. It was a form of Baal. She was from Phoenicia. She married Ahab, which was the king of Israel, and she brought her gods into the land of Israel. Can I go ahead and take this as a teaching moment of, see, the people of God knew this, that if I'm going to date anybody, I'm going to date somebody that believes in the same God that I believe in. And I'm here to tell you, you need to teach your kids that if they're dating somebody that is not a believer, they need to dump them immediately. But pastor, we need to walk in love. No, we don't need to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, as the Bible says. If you think for just a moment that you're going to change them, I'm going to tell you, there ain't no word. I haven't talked a Democrat into being a Republican yet. But I've been trying. I'm just here to tell you today, we do not need to be unequally yoked, as the Bible says. And you know what, if you're out there and you say, you know what, I'm married to somebody that is not saved, you know what? You're already married. We're going to believe God that husband, that wife will come into the house of the Lord and they will have a God encounter and God will meet their needs. Amen? I'm believing that. But if you're dating somebody today that is not saved, there's been times where they say, Pastor, I want you to meet somebody. And I'll ask, are they a believer? Well, I don't know. Well, you need to start asking that question. And if you don't know, that means they're probably not. It's time to move on. You go ahead and get you a new boo. Come on. Amen. So he brought it in. He brought it into the world. He brought it into Israel. And you see this about Ahab. And I'll tell you this. As I study him, he really was a good king. He, in fact, in his life, he had more political power than any other king before his time. In fact, he brought finances in. He was a good king, but then Jezebel came along. And you see, there was high moments in his kingdom and there was low moments in his kingdom because he said, you know what, this is the God. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is the God that we serve. But she said, oh, but look over here at the God of Baal. And he teeter-tottered back and forth. And I want to tell you, there may be people in your life that manipulate you. See, Jezebel was a manipulating spirit. And if there's people in your life that you leave here gung-ho and say, you know what, I'm going to charge hell with a squirt gun, and you get on that phone with that person or maybe that object or whatever that spirit is that talks you out of what God did in your life, that's a spirit of Jezebel. And I'm here to tell you, don't be in a teeter-totter moment. Be on this side of the teeter-totter and say, there is no ground that the enemy is going to take from me. I'm going to stand firm in the faith, and I don't care if you love me or if you don't. I'm going to stay true to the Word of God. Oh, Lord. In 2 Kings chapter 9, we see this, that she was deeply involved in whoredom, all kinds of witchcraft. Ooh, witchy woman. She was a witchy woman. Oh, she was bad. She was a prophetess in the religion of Baal. Bible tells us, as I begin to study this, she was an idolatress. She was cunning. She was manipulative, prideful, and disrespectful of spiritual authority. And I'll tell you right now, a spirit of Jezebel can be in a man just as much as it can be in a woman. Anybody who is disrespectful of spiritual authority is a Jezebel. Anybody. I'm telling you, they may not like that person, but if they're talking you out of liking a man or a woman of God, I'm telling you, that's the spirit of Jezebel. And so, in 1 Kings chapter 18, we see this. This is what a Jezebel spirit does. Elijah, he meets up at Mount Carmel, and he tells the prophets of Baal, he says, you try to light this wood pile on fire. And they cry and cry, and nothing happens. Now, I'm reading, this is really quick here. And he says, in my God, I will call fire down from heaven, and we'll make a trench and make the wood wet. And he called down fire, and it burned it all up. So how many of you say that he won that battle? And then the Bible says he outran the chariots of Ahab. So he's got some running power. He's got God on his side, but the Bible says at the end of, in 1 Kings 19, that Jezebel meets up with him and says, I'm gonna kill you. Even though he saw all what God had done in his life, that woman manipulated him so much that he turned from what God was doing in his life and he ran and went into a wilderness. And I'm here to tell you, it may be in the form of a mom, it may be in the form of a grandma, it may be in the form of a boss. But if they're making you run from what God has already done in your life, you need to run away from them and not from the Lord. Let somebody else deal with that Jezebel. What it needs is somebody. See, what happens is you'll turn into an Ahab because you put up with it. And an Ahab is just as weak and just as spineless as Jezebel. But we don't need to be an Ahab. We need to be who God's called us to be. She was known for putting Baal and prophets and prophetesses on the patrol or on the payroll of the country. She was so manipulative and controlled the country through her husband. And I'll tell you this morning, Jezebel's spirit always controls from the outside. It can be a wife, it can be a husband, it can be a friend, it can be any outside force that manipulates. But in 1 Kings 21, this is interesting. 1 Kings 21, 25, it says, but there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord because Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up. He became weak because of her. And there we see in Scripture that Ahab wanted a piece of land from Naboth. He wanted this vineyard. Naboth wouldn't sell it, so Jezebel had him killed. You can go back and read that. And in 1 Kings 21, Elijah prophesies the death of Ahab and Jezebel. This is all context that's going to help you with the scripture in Revelations. But he prophesies to Ahab, he says, that you'll die and the dogs will lick up your blood. He tells Jezebel that the dogs will eat you in the streets of Jezreel. We see that when Ahab dies, other writers of the Bible, like Polycarp and writings like that, said that not only did the dogs lick up his blood, but pigs licked up his blood. Pigs was a form of unclean animal, but he was such a nasty man that even the pigs licked his blood up. We see this of when she dies. This is so good, we need to read it. 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse 30. It says, now when Jehu, this will give you a good idea about it, Jezebel. Now when Jehu had come to Jezreel, Jezebel, so now Jehu is the king, Ahab has died. There's a lot that's gone in between here. I'm going to encourage you to read the word. It says, now when Jehu had come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she put pain on her eyes and adorned her head and looked through the window. Is that not a seductive manipulative woman. Men, if that happens to you, run. I mean, I'm thankful for a West Texas girl that has makeup, but I'm here to tell you, you know what those haughty eyes are. They're no good. She was thinking to herself, he's going to look up in that window and he's going to say, hey, pretty lady, won't you give me a sign? I bid anything you make your mind on mine. I be your bidding and be at your beck and call. But she had another thing coming. Sorry. Then as Jehu entered at the gate, she says, is it peace, Zimri, murdered of your master? And he looked up at the window and said, who is on my side? Who? So two or three eunuchs looked at him, out at him. That's another thing. That's a sign of a Jezebel. They'll have non-productive people always around them. Then he said, throw her down. So he threw her down, and some of her blood spattered on the wall and the horses, and he trampled her underfoot. And when he had gone in, he ate and drank. Then he said, go now, see to this accursed woman and bury her, for she was a king's daughter. So they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hand. Therefore they came back and told him, and he said, this is the word of the Lord, which he spoke by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, on the plot of ground at Jezreel, dogs shall eat the flesh of Jezebel. Now, but look, the only thing that was left was her skull, her hands, and her feet. I'm here to tell you that the word doesn't just put stuff in there. It's for us to have revelation. And the revelation is this, Proverbs chapter 6. Why didn't the dogs eat the head? Why didn't they eat the hands? Why didn't they hit the feet? Because it says in Proverbs 6:16, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are abomination to him. A proud look, that's in the head. A lying tongue, that's in the head. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift to running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. I'm here to tell you, they may say, that's a fact, but they better watch it. They better watch it. God is bringing judgment. God is bringing judgment. And he brought judgment to Jezebel. Ahab was a good king. They prospered under his rule, but he just let his wife go. Come on, there's people in your life. If you let them run roughshod over you, you'll be in the same, you'll have that spirit of Jezebel on you as it was in Ahab. But he just let his wife go. He did not know how to deal with her. And it was about to derail the church. I'm here to give you a witness and a warning this morning that there may be some Jezebels in your life. And I believe there's a spirit of Jezebel over America today. But I'm telling you what, I'm not going to sit back and be like an Ahab and let it happen. And I'm not going to call evil good, and I'm not going to call good evil. But we're going to point out some things. We're going to be a mouthpiece of what God has called and asked us to do. Can I get an amen this morning? It goes on in verse 21. It says, and I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Go ahead, John. You guys can come up. She did not repent. You know, there's people out there, and there's a teaching that says, you know what? It's okay. You don't have to repent. I believe with all my heart that God loved this Jezebel. If he didn't, he wouldn't have pointed it out. But he's also pointing something out too. Listen, this is a good church. This is a good church. This is a church that loved. This is a church that served. This is a church that had faith. We saw all the things that the church had. But you know what? This is the one thing that was going to cause them to go off the path. How many of y'all believe, even though you're a good old boy, you still are called to repentance just like anybody else? I'm here to ask you, what are the Jezebel things in your life? Have you ever had an issue you've dealt with hundreds of times, hundreds of times, and you may be out there today that you're dealing with something, and you deal with it hundreds of times. You wake up on Saturday morning and say, God, I won't do it again. And then Sunday morning, you wake up and say, God, I won't do it again. And you wake up on Monday morning and say, God, I won't do it again. Whether it's looking at her phone or popping pills inside of your mouth or shooting something in your arm or sleeping with somebody you know you're not supposed to be sleeping with. Come on, I'm talking to somebody this morning. He's pointing the Jezebel out. Whatever it is, that Jezebel spirit may be on you that you talk yourself out of it, saying, you know what, God will love me, and God does love you. But he also calls those that he loves to repent. And he says, I'm calling you, Jezebel. You need to repent. He gave her time to repent, but she didn't repent. You know what repentance is? It's a decision to completely change the way one thinks, lives, or behaves. That means you're going this direction and you say, you know what? I'm not even going to look in the rearview mirror. I'm going the way God has called me to go. And he goes on in verse 22. He says, indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed. And those who commit adultery. This is a God of love that is saying this to the woman Jezebel. This is a God of mercy. How many of y'all believe we serve a God of mercy? This is a God of grace. This is a God of goodness. He says, indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed. And those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation. Not only Jezebel, but the ones that are hooked up with the Jezebels. Unless they repent of their deeds, I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. A Jezebel spirit will take your health. Just real quick, I remember there was a man that brought a Jezebel spirit into this church, and he left, and he took some people with him. And I remember I picked up Mike Barber. Those of you not know who Mike Barber is, he's a giant of a man. I picked him up and I told him what was going on. I said, you have that man's number? I said, I do. He called him. He's on Bluetooth inside of my pickup. And he answered the phone. He said, hey, so-and-so? He said, yeah. This is Mike Barber. Is it true that you've done this? He said, yes, sir. Well, of course, he manipulated him that he did it right. And Mike Barber, with boldness, he wasn't an Ahab. He said, you better watch out because sickness will come over your body. I'm here to tell you that that man, in just 2 or 3 months, he had him a heart attack. Don't mess with the people of God. Come on, don't mess with the people of God. Come on, don't mess with the people of God. But God bless, no man can curse. He says, now to you I say, let's go ahead and stand to our feet. He says, now to you I say, and to the rest of Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. Come on, how many of y'all believe every eye will see and every ear will hear? He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessel. See, in this day, a potter, if they didn't like the way the pottery came out, they would take a rod and they would shatter it and it would remold. How many of y'all believe when we're at a place of brokenness, God can mold us back to the one he's called us to be? And I will give him the morning star. See, it was said in Old Testament, it was said that the morning star fell from heaven and went to hell. His name was Lucifer. But he's telling the people of God this, that I am the bright and the morning star. There ain't no other morning star, Lucifer. The prince of the power of the air doesn't have the ability to be the morning star. Only Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And I'm here to ask somebody this morning. There may be a Jezebel spirit on your life. There may be inside of you that you talk yourself out of every single Sunday morning when you leave here. There may be some things that you've dealt with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. It may be a lying tongue. You know what it is. You come in on a Sunday morning, the power and the presence of God gets on the inside of you. It gets all over you. But that spirit of Jezebel, it may be through some boy, it may be through some girl, it may be through a loved one that you love, but they talk you out of the things of God. And I'm here to tell you this morning, he said, I'm giving you time to repent. This is the word of God, and I know this is hard, Addison, when you listen to this. I know this is hard. But people of God, I want you to live in victory. I want you to live in victory. Don't let the enemy talk you into, oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. The enemy can manipulate you to thinking. How many of you know inside of your head you can talk yourself into something and out of something in minutes? It's a spirit of Jezebel. And you may be out there today that you have the... I don't want to leave here being an Ahab putting up with the spirit of Jezebel. I want to leave here today dealing with some things. See, Jezebel told them this. They believed in a God and said, you know what? If you don't believe what the preacher says, I can take you out to the gods, the other gods. See, I love the scripture here too. I love the love here too. I love the service here too. But you also need to know this, that the gods out there, if you didn't get everything that you felt like you should have got here, let's go somewhere else. That's what Jezebel did. You may be even a part of that inside of this room. I'm here to tell you, you need to get it off you. You need to get it off you. That's a spirit of Jezebel. The spirit of Ahab puts up with it. If you're in this room, I believe there's room for repentance. Are you in G? There's a song that God's just really been putting on my heart. Those of you that have been raised in church, you can sing along with me. But I just want all of us in this room, let's just close our eyes. Glorify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold. Pure gold. Pure gold. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold. Come on, sing it out. And precious silver. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold. Pure gold. Pure gold. Refiner's fire. My heart's your desire. My heart's your desire. Is to be holy. Is to be. Holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be. Holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your God, I'm ready to your. Come on, sing that out like you mean it this morning. God, I'm ready to do your will. With every head bowed, with every eye closed. And you say, Pastor, you know what? I'm in this room today. And I'm dealing with the spirit of Jezebel all my life. I'm dealing of being an Ahab and putting up with it. I believe there is room for repentance in this room. I believe that you don't have to leave here the same, but you can leave here changed. If you're out there today and say, you know what? Whatever it is, I want you to just lift your hand. Come on. Be bold this morning. Be bold this morning. Be bold this morning. Oh, the room's full of hands in the air. God, I pray for these. Come on, let's just do this. Those that have your hands raised, just come forward at this time. There's something about being at the altar of the Lord. Come on, there's something about being at the altar of the Lord. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold. Pure. With your hands raised, those of you that are in the audience, come on, this ain't a time to move out. This ain't a time to be thinking about Golden Corral as beating the crowd, but this is a time. There's a spirit of repentance that's in the house of the Lord today. I want you to hook your faith with these that are up here that are bold to say, you know what? I'm not leaving here with it. God, I lift my faith with these today that have came forward out of an act of obedience. And I pray by the Spirit of God that you're breaking that spirit of Jezebel off of their life in Jesus' mighty name. I curse that spirit of Ahab of putting up with sin in their life. And Lord, as they've had a heart of repentance and came forward and saying, God, I don't want to leave here the same. I pray, God, that you're doing a new thing on the inside of their heart. That you're breaking some things open. God, that you're opening eyes to see. That you're opening ears to hear. Father, I pray for these moms. I pray for these husbands. I pray for these dads. I pray, God, that their children would see a difference on the inside of them. Lord, that their wives and their husbands would see a difference on the inside of them. And God, today may they leave it here and never pick it up again. May they leave it here at the altar, Lord, as they've been obedient to come forward and say, you know what? I don't want to be like the church at Thyatira. I want to be a man of God that you've called me to be. I want to be the woman of God you've called me to be. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, touch them right now in Jesus' name. Come on, touch them, Lord. Touch them. Lord, minister to them. Speak to them. God, I pray that you're opening doors for them in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I pray that their workplace, their workers, people in their workplace, God, would see a difference, Lord, in their life. Lord, that's repentance. A river of restoration is flowing through the room now. God's restoring things. I believe by the power and the presence of God, that God is putting things back in order. He's opening doors that need to be opened. He's shutting doors that need to be shut. I pray, God, that they would see a difference. They would see a difference and they would make a difference. God, work mightily in their midst. Work mightily in their midst. Purify their hearts, Lord. Come on, sing that out.
Purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold.
See, when he turned and he saw the seven lampstands, he saw seven golden lampstands, pure. And I believe today that those of you that have came forward, you've confessed some things to the Lord. You've gotten some things off of you. I believe that today that you're going to leave here pure. You're going to leave here new. Come on, without spot, without wrinkle, without any blemish. We serve a good God that does that for our life. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand this morning. Amen. Still in the presence. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, if you're out there, you say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I believe there's no better time than today to ask Jesus to come live on the inside of you. Say, I'm a sinner. I'm messed up. Maybe you're away from the Lord. I don't care if you've came here every single Sunday. Maybe you've backslidden. Maybe you're away from God. But this morning, you want to get things right with Him. I believe that there is repentance in the room today. And God will forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The Bible says He will forgive you as far as the east is from the west. If you're not a part of the kingdom of God, and today you would like to become into the kingdom of God, I don't care how many drugs you've done. I don't care where you've been in your life. I believe today is the day of salvation for you. If you're away from the Lord and you want to make things right, please pray this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, I invite you into my heart. I believe you died on the cross. You were buried, and on the third day, you rose again. Come live in my heart, Jesus. Make me new. From this day forward, I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org. Or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.